next in line to be the King of England, arrested. I predicted to be about espionage. It's confirmed. It's coming up. A whole bunch of other news in the economy. What just happened with this trade announcement? We'll be talking to Dr. Kirk Elliott here in about 5 minutes, but let's go back to Trump during the live press conference.
Peter, go ahead.
Thank you, President Trump. So, since Liberation Day, there's about $175 billion in tariff revenue that is now in limbo. Do you have to refund $175 billion?
Think of it, Peter. Very fair question. They take months and months to write an opinion, and they don't even discuss that point. We've taken in hundreds of billions of dollars, not millions, hundreds of billions of dollars. And so I said, well, what happens to all the money that we took in? It wasn't discussed. Wouldn't you think they would have put one sentence in there saying that keep the money or don't keep the money, right? I guess it has to get litigated for the next 2 years. So they write this terrible, defective decision, totally defective. It's almost like not written by smart people. And what they do, they don't even talk about that. Your question is very basic. That was the first question I asked also to make you feel good. They say, what about all the money that we've taken in? Sir, they don't discuss that. How crazy is that?
What you're saying is, are you saying that you don't plan to honor refunds for companies that file for them?
I just told you the answer, right? I told you the answer. It's not discussed. We'll end up being in court for the next 5 years. Go ahead, Green. Yeah,
thank you, Mr. President. When you are talking about the relationship with countries that you have sought trade deals with, do you anticipate that they will seek to renegotiate those? What do you say to them? And do you view this as a potential undermining power for your
negotiations? We're going straight ahead with 10% straight across the board, which was the absolute right to do. And that's taking place. That's a lot of money coming into our country. And then during that period of about 5 months, we are doing the various investigations necessary to put fair tariffs or tariffs, period, on other countries. So we're doing that period, but we're immediately instituting the 10% provision, which we're allowed to do. And in the end, I think we'll take in more money than we've taken in before.
Mr. President, you've used the tariff revenue to pay for a host of federal policies. You claim that they will pay for them. What happens
to farmers? We took care of farmers. You know, the farmers were mistreated by foreign countries very badly, very, very badly. And last week, I gave them $12 billion out of tariff money. We intend to, out of tariff money, because just so you understand, we have tariffs. We just have them in a different way. And now they've been confirmed by the Supreme Court of the United States. So there's no longer that question out there about tariffs. And we'll be taking in hundreds of billions of dollars. And countries that have treated us badly will have to pay a price for treating us badly. And countries that have been good to us will be treated very well. We just left the top person in a place called Vietnam, just left my office. Great gentleman, strong and smart. He said, you know, I think this means you're allowed to charge us more tariffs than before. And Canada said to Jameson, I might want to say it, Jameson, but Canada said, I hope you win this decision, because if you don't win, you'll actually be allowed to charge us, with a little additional work, higher tariffs. Jameson, you want to comment on that?
Yes, sir. So, to the president's point, we have a lot of tools out there. We have Section 122, which will be implemented today. It will be signed today and implemented very shortly. We have Section 301 investigations, which are incredibly legally durable, where we can investigate and address unfair trading practices that have led to our huge trade deficit. And so you can look forward in the coming days and weeks to seeing all of that come out, and we're going to keep continuity in the program.
Boy, Ludwig ain't so smiley anymore, is he? Him and his son just made billions on betting on the trade deal they wrote.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
I've known who Kirk Elliott is for over 20 years. He's on the board of Focus with the Family, and of course, one of the top writers at WorldNet Daily. But he's been with us 2.5 years as our main sponsor. And yeah, he sells silver and gold, top broker, North America. He has the best deals, best ratings, best everything. But he's not here for that today, though we'll pitch it at the end. He's here to talk about the Supreme Court ruling that he predicted they would rule against part of it, which they did. He's here to talk about what Zero Hedge has been talking about, and I see it in the market news, even main line. Record for 3 weeks. They don't know. They say they don't know where it's coming from because the amount of money is so huge. Blasting every major stock, blasting every major. It's like every few days it moves from one to the other, trying to crash the stock market. And I was asking Elliot, I said, well, the globalists tried to crash it in the spring, the summer now. They want to do it. They have short positions. He was exactly. That's what I was going to say. But how powerful these institutions is BlackRock, folks. It controls like 87% of the world assets. And so, but it's not working. So when you see silver, as we predicted, you know, it's up massively still, you know, in the last year. And you see it. They try to suppress it. It goes back up. We are more bullish, I think, than ever on that. But that's a side issue. Let's look at the Supreme Court ruling. Let's look at this dark money coming in, trying to crash the stock market. It's not worked. Because they were like, oh, the stock market's going to crash today. And I said, watch it go up. Because now we have certainty, as Trump said, that, oh, these tools are good, these tools are bad. Well, the other tools he has are even tougher. And then what's happening with silver and gold? Dr. Kirk Elliott of KEPM.com/gold. We go to /gold. We get the support and the toll-free number. We get a free consultation. Everybody needs to take action now. Dr. Kirk Elliott, economist, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Alex.
So that's a lot I threw out there. You want to start with the tariffs first, the Supreme Court ruling?
Let's start with the tariffs. So they struck down Trump's tariff plan, which is the foundation of his economic policy, right? They said 6-3 vote. Now this is illegal stuff. Well, guaranteed, Alex, Trump has a plan B and a plan C and a plan D, because since these tariffs started, how is this bad for the American public, right? So a lot of the people are saying, well, this has caused all this taxes and made everything more expensive for America. And, you know, all the Democrat House leaders saying, finally, the Supreme Court's doing something for the American public, right? Well, Trump has brought in $174 billion in tariff revenue that actually we're having other countries pay the taxes rather than U.S. citizens. So how is this not?
But regardless, as Kavanaugh said, it's all constitutional what he did. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it is. Under the way that it was done, yes, the International Emergency Powers Act, right? So that is constitutional. But when they say that it's not, because he's overreaching his powers as the president, no president has ever done this before. Well, I don't care if no president's ever done this before. It doesn't mean it's not good. Doesn't mean it's not right. Doesn't mean it's not legal. Just nobody's ever done it before, right? But
let's be clear. They've done all the pieces together, and it's been approved. He just used a whole group of pieces.
Well, and to say that it's never been done before is even so false, because this is how our country started, Alex. With the only way that we ever generated revenue as a country was through tariffs way back in.
But that's what Kavanaugh put in his ruling, and he pointed out that Ludnick miswrote it and said you need to rewrite it.
Yeah.
What do you make of Ludnick's sons, the only big group investing in buying up the insurance for pennies on the dollar for this being overturned? I'm done with Ludnick.
I mean, something smells fishy, I'll tell you that much. I mean, seriously, when that is insider baseball like nothing I've ever seen, right? So here's where, if I were Trump, I would be so ticked. I'd be ticked at people on his own team. I'd be ticked at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it's like you play for the New York Yankees and you catch the coach betting against you during the World Series. You're fired.
Fired. And banned from the Hall of Fame. You're banned from life. Basically, you can't really do, I mean, this is just insane to me. So how do the markets react to this, right? So generally speaking, when you see tangible assets, whether it's oil or gas or gold or silver, they thrive during times of uncertainty. Absolutely thrive, Alex. Well, what is this? This is uncertainty to the extreme, right? Stock market tends to not do well during times like this, right? But this is different because the leftist media is putting such a spin on it. They're going to say, ooh, this is finally going to make things cheaper for Americans and they're going to spend more money. And so the stock market is this like wild card to me, right? Because people will
listen. Well, it's become synthetic and artificial. It's
synthetic. Absolutely.
I mean, it's always had a lot of, what's that Italian word, Fingazi or whatever. I mean, it's always had an air of Alice in Wonderland, but now it's pure vapor.
Yeah, absolutely pure vapor. So here's what's really weird about, let's just talk about silver for a second, because this is the market.
Yeah, let's pull up silver and gold. Yeah, let's do a pitch here too. I mean, I'm glad you told me during the break, you said no, 99% buy, people get it. They understand the fundamentals, just manufacturing alone with silver, people get it.
Yeah, so if you listen to the national media, it's like, oh, everybody's selling, everyone's scared. They're getting out of Dodge, they're locking in their profits, and they're getting out because they think this is the end. That's not what we're seeing. Absolutely front lines here, this is not what we're seeing. We have people that sell every single day, like because they need money, not because they think that they're locking in profits and because they think this market's over. These are the same people that sell all the time because they can't make ends meet, right? It's tough right now and they just need to sell something to live on. So that's probably less than 1% of all of our transactions. 99% are people that are buying on the dip because they don't believe the fabricated stories. Like to put this into perspective, right? Let's put this into perspective. Silver ended 2025 at $71 an ounce, and it went up over 65% in January alone. So on January 30th, it was $118 an ounce. Corrections are healthy. Corrections are healthy right now. A big correction like we had in 2 days wasn't necessarily all that healthy, but the extent of it was healthy. That was expected. I just didn't expect it to happen in 2 days. I expected it to happen in like 3 or 4 weeks, right? So, but it happened. Why did it happen? This is the question. So when silver went from 71 to 118 in 30 days in January, these banks that have short positions, and I'm going to explain this, you know, because it's very...
Well, I mean, I want you to, but we just say what's true here. Let's be clear. When I saw this so violently correct down, that made me feel good about the future that they had to violently come in and do something so artificial. My gut level, understanding economics, about finally the last ingredient's God, saying God. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm even more bullish on silver. The fact that there's such a violent downturn, a violent upturn, imagine what's next.
Well, yeah, because it's not real. People realize when 99% of all of our business, and Alex, we're busier than we've ever been in since me being in this industry since 2002. We're double as busy to 2.5 times as busy as we've ever been. More so than even Silicon Valley Bank collapse days. And that was the busiest that the industry has seen in 2 decades. We're 2.5 times that. This is absolutely nuts, right? So what does that tell us? Tells us that the retail buying public doesn't believe this fabricated downturn because markets don't come down 30% in 2 days.
And now the public understands short selling and naked shorts.
Yeah. So,
and I interrupted you, though. Go back to what the banks did.
Yeah. So short selling is normal business practice, right? So let's say you're a farmer and you're producing corn and you've got it sold 3 months down the road to Kellogg's so they can make cornflakes, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to put an option, a put option, which is like the same as a short. You want to protect yourself if the price goes down. So that's normal. It's like you're forward selling it. You want to protect yourself if the price goes down. That's the equivalent of a short. Now, what's not normal business operations is these big banks issuing naked shorts. So a naked short is putting a short on something that you don't own. Remember, a regular short, they own the product. They own the corn in that scenario. They're covering themselves against a downturn in price with an option, a put option. So a naked short means you're shorting something. You're expecting the price to come down, and you can leverage that. You know, if the price goes down, you're making money hand over fist. When silver went up because of Trump's tariffs, see, silver went up because of Trump's tariffs because
and Venezuela, as you predicted.
Yes, and Venezuela, numerous factors, right? But the big one was Trump's tariffs. Why would COMEX, you know, the main depository system in North America, send metal to London, which is running out, if they thought there's going to be a 25% tariff on it to get it back because we need it back? Well, so they didn't do it. So now there's a massive supply crunch. And so what Trump also did was he said, hey, anybody who's doing business with China, we're going to put a tariff on you too. So what did China do? They stopped exporting silver to the rest of the world. Nobody was doing trading with them. Not the Latin American countries weren't getting metals to China, A, because of that, B, because of the Venezuela war crisis, right? So now there's no supply. So the price went through the roof. This happened way too quick. Silver went up 65% in January alone. These banks, one of these big banks, Alex, could have probably gone bankrupt unless they started naked shorting the living daylights out of this thing, driving the price down, right?
Well, so that's why I said a month ago, this started going, I said, Kirk, don't you imagine they're going to play some game to drive this down? Because I was like, you're like, yeah, but I mean, they did that. So I'm not going to apologize for getting people into something that's been the best performing thing ever. I just want people to understand fundamentally with manufacturing, the rest of it, long term, am I wrong where they don't have new mines? Takes 10 years to build a new one. It's needed as a rare earth mineral. That projecting out, the fundamentals are, it only goes up.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And so to me, always look at the fundamentals of everything. Look at the supply and demand that rules the roost all the times. Don't look at this fabricated downturn that happened in 2 days. People thought it was the end of the world. It's like, no. Silver went from 118 down to 65, took it back to where it was in mid-December. That's all it did, is it took away about 6 weeks of profits. But now, today, we're back up to 83 again, right? It's like, silver started the year at 71. We're at 83.
And all that family call me and they go, we're not dumping. In fact, we're going to buy more, but are you sure? And I said, I'm only sure about Jesus Christ. But I said, yeah. And I go, just listen to Elliot. I'm not going to repeat it to you. Like, it's like it's running out. It's in everything. There's a global inflation. It's not going away. It's a no-brainer. Like, it's not rocket science.
It's not. And even after this corrective phase, which was manipulated, right? So I don't think it was manipulation in the sense of people say, oh, they're manipulating the markets. They did it to save their bacon. That's why they did it, right? So,
and sure, there were probably a lot of people, too, that bought silver back at 20. They wanted to cash in. I mean, I wouldn't blame them at $115 or whatever.
I know. Some people were just profit-taking, right? But put this all into perspective. Silver's now at $83 an ounce. It started the year at 71. It's up $12 an ounce in the first 7 weeks of this year. That's a really good return. We're only 7 weeks into it. Now, when we have the crisis, this constitutional crisis, because of the Supreme Court's decision on Trump, is he going to be able to do his foundational, you know, economic financial policy for America with tariffs to have other countries pay our tax bill rather than Americans, right? If they strike it down as unconstitutional, not real, this is going to drag out for a long time. Chaos, uncertainty, turbulence, turmoil, change causes tangible assets like gold and silver to go up, Alex. So this is why it's going up. And people have said, well, Kirk, now that the tariffs are going to be done, isn't that going to actually create more supply for silver because China can export it to the rest of the world? No, because this is going to drag out forever. This is not going to be decided.
Well, he said
tomorrow,
a thing,
right?
We're putting out, like right now, it's going up, I'm told. He said right during the first press conference, he goes, it ends with the Supreme Court and I'm not going to follow it. He said constitutional crisis right there. Then he pivoted and said, but I'll use these other emergency powers. But he said right there, he could actually just ignore them.
Yeah. So he's got numerous ways to just ignore them because there's been so much precedential law that's been on the books.
Well, he bought up a licensure. He could just look at each country as they scam us and say the license costs as much.
Well, absolutely. So he can go to, for example, like the Section 122, the Trade Act of 1974, and across the board, put a 15% cap on duties for 150 days. So he could tariff everybody at 15% for the next half a year until these things get figured out. And how could he do that? Because it's legal already.
So why do you think the pathetic Supreme Court did this? They're so controlled.
They're so controlled, Alex. And I don't know. You know, I don't know why they would do it, but tell you this, Supreme Court's not as conservative as people think that they are, right? And so you've talked about this a lot. There's some horrible decisions that they've done, and this is proof in the pudding. They don't like Trump. They don't like it that Trump is
upsetting. Well, simple. All these globalists sold us out to China. Trump exposed the middlemen, the trillions, and so this is what's happening. So shifting out of that to larger picture here, generally, I do see. I mean, I paid like $2.20 or $2.15 or something extra for gas. I was like, this is crazy. It was like $4 before he got in, and like $6 or $8 other places in the country. Give us a real prognosis. Trump said the economy is really turning around. I see some turning around. Takes time to turn around a big boat, but how good is it? And how does having to repay this? I get you say it's going to be litigated, but still, it throws up a cloud of uncertainty. How is the U.S. economy right now?
Well, honestly, it's not good. I mean, there's no way to really sugarcoat it, Alex. It's not good. And people say, well, Kirk,
and I think Trump should poorly. Churchill people and be honest and say, look, I got energy prices down. I did this and that, but I'm being blocked by courts. They don't want to be told everything's great. He said everything was great today. No, it's not.
It's not.
Mitchell said most of his polls, that's what people are most mad about, is we'll stick with you. We get you're trying to house on fire, and the fire department shows up and spraying water. The fire ain't out. We're glad you showed up. Yeah, you're starting to put out some of it, but don't tell us the fire's out.
Yeah, because it's not out. Now, you look at the inflationary pressures, they've actually been somewhat held in check. They haven't gone up as much as what the naysayers said.
Let's be honest, Trump was up against a giant wave of a bunch of factors. That's why you believed a few years ago when you came on, he probably could revert. You've already expected a big correction.
Mm-hmm. So we expect a big correction because everything has to correct. Nothing can go straight up. Even though Trump's just like, he's not a politician like any other politician. He's a businessman.
He believes his will can overpower market fundamentals.
Yeah. And to a lot of extent, when he uses tariffs as a negotiating tool, right? That's what he's been using them for. He's been winning, right? But inflation hasn't gone up as much as what the naysayers said it was going to because of slapping a 25% tariff on there, right?
Remember, he's had some success, but it's not enough for people to want instant gratification. Then he says it's all fixed. That's the wrong message.
Yeah, it's not all fixed because people still aren't working. People's wages aren't keeping up with even the moderate inflation that we have. So they're not making enough. There's people not working, right? And now you've got, we still have a bunch of the Biden era administrative rulings that need to be unwound for environmental issues and things like that. So when Trump says, you know, we're going to drill, baby, drill, well, you can't unless you get the environmental lobby out of the way first, right? So there's all these headwinds. So to think that there's been tons of progress, no, there hasn't been progress. There's been wins. And
he needs to explain,
right,
we're
direction.
Still the underdog. He can't say it's all fixed when he's under total attack.
Yeah, and like what we've talked about numerous times, Alex, when you have policy, legislative action, political action, executive orders, things like that, there's about a 12 to 18 month lag time from a policy action until you can see fruit on the tree. That's the action lag. That's the policy lag. That's what it's called. Well, Trump hasn't been in office for 18 months. I hate to – we're still dealing with the hangover effect from the Biden economy. Now, at 18 months, that's the long-term tail of this. At that point, Trump has to own his stuff because he's not dealing with the previous administration stuff. Now, Trump's a little bit different in the sense of he's got that to deal with and he's got these headwinds politically, geopolitical headwinds.
Let me ask you this question. What is your prognosis on current trajectory? Does he turn it around?
Yeah, He does, but it's not going to be pleasant, and it's not going to be easy, because I read this article, Alex, and you should pull it up if you can. It Ray Dalio spoke at the World Government Summit.
No, he talked about how the global government New World Order is dead. But I say this every day. The establishment's gone. There's no trust in the system. It's the end of the old order.
It is the end of the old order. However, whenever you're at the end, it's like, view it as this. If we've all read history books where there's this marauding army going across the desert, nobody cares because they're out in the desert. When they get right at the city gates and they're about to overtake the city, that's when the battle is most intense. This is where the globalists are right now versus the populist camp that we have. So we've got money, credit, and debt operating machine. It's breaking down. This is the economic cycle that Dalio was talking about. It's breaking down. Put it into perspective of you and me. If we spend more money than what we make, we're going to ultimately file for bankruptcy. Countries are no different, right? Except they have a printing press, so they can print their way out of it. So now you have internal political forces, these backbiting forces that you've got populists on the left, populists on the right, fighting about how do we fix this problem number one, the economic cycle, the debt cycle that's broken. Well, we're going to raise taxes, we're going to lower taxes, we're going to print money, we're going to do this. So there's massive conflict right now. And then you've got a big one, the geopolitical cycle, which is world order, dominated by the IMF, the United Nations, the G20, the G7 nations, right? So, but that's been dominated by the United States since 1945, Alex, in the Bretton Woods Act, where we were the world's reserve currency.
So and I believe with Trump's leadership, we will continue in that dominant position. We have to. We're almost out of time. I'm going to get into the secret space program, Trump's big UFO alien announcement. It's about to happen next segment. But let's do a pitch. You're the highest rated, biggest gold and silver company in the U.S. You can sell it back for free to you. Nobody else that's reputable does that. You're the place to go. You got to call, leave your number. They'll call you back, free consultation, or email kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3000. Still nothing performing as good as silver or gold. Right now, it's the no-brainer move, and boom, right now is a buying opportunity, even though silver and gold is going back up. Give us a one-minute plug. You can also roll over financial instruments. Dr. Kirk Elliott, you're the guy to go to.
Well, IRAs, non-IRAs, old 401ks, current 401ks, if you're over 59 and a half, you can go into tangible assets. Even after the correction, Alex, January of 25, silver was $28 an ounce. Now it's $83. That's in a year and a month. That's fantastic growth. Nothing else on earth is like it, right? Why is that? Because of the changing of this order. Because it's this movement of paper to physicals. Take advantage of that trend. Allocate into it. We can help you. It's easy. We'll do all the paperwork. You just have to sign a couple of things, right? And we'll handle that process for you. But even outside of an IRA, if you've got money in a brokerage account, bank account, call us. Now, we don't have an e-commerce site because we want to talk to you. We want to make sure you're doing exactly what is right for your position, for your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, your fears, your hopes. We'll walk you through it.
720-605-3900, kepm.com/gold. Dr. Elliott, thank you so much. We were talking off air. You think maybe a few weeks to try to suppress it, but it started moving up. We'll talk again soon. God bless you. You're a great team.
God bless. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. The UFO disclosure is straight ahead. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever. Hey, Patriots know. And it's just exciting. Spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, Become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach new people and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I gotta tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder. Another world,
another time.
Another time. His life was green and good
until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I subconsciously, and I just realized it, have not done the Epstein stack today, and worse coming in. It's like the King of England's brother next in line with fake breasts teaching children. It's in the Epstein things how they train children to think it's some other's breasts. And it's third. I just that alone. It's more emails where they're preparing the pandemic. I hope we can pull this off. But as horrible as this all is, it's the age of disclosure. And that's where we are. So it's an extremely powerful moment to be alive. Now, a lot of people, when Trump came out last night and said, I'm going to disclose the UFO alien file, they thought, oh, it's because Epstein. No, you can pull it up. Trump said when he was running, I'll disclose it. He tried last administration, as our expert guest has broken down. You can pull the articles up. And Hegseth got confirmed like 10 months ago, he said, I want them to do this. But that's an agency giving them what they want to give them. So is this going to be full disclosure? I don't believe so. But we had Barack Obama over the weekend on a podcast saying aliens are real, and then Trump is saying you shouldn't have done that, which leans towards Trump is going to actually not release the stuff. And again, do we just believe Obama? I mean, I'm not saying aliens don't exist. I'm just saying Obama tells us, so now it's, you know, it's like famously Al Gore said in the early 90s when he's about to run for president or vice president, he said, as he ran for president and then lost, was VP with Clinton, he said, I invented the internet. Everybody knows it was an ARPA, DARPA thing in the 50s, theoretically. In the 60s, they developed it for nuclear war, a digital communication system with bits, zeros and ones. It was a lie. But here we are. So this is definitely a big moment on every front. So I'm going to host for the next 45 minutes or so with Daniel List, our journalist. But I like to cut him loose the last 45 minutes so he can cover whatever he wants without me asking questions and interrupting. Though he didn't ask for this. I'm like, you're going to co-host. So he's going to do it. DarkJournalist.com, YouTube, Dark Journalist. Also find him on X, Dark Journalist. So a big moment here. And Clinton, and then you got Obama and all them making statements ahead of this. What do they know is about to come out, and who are the factions? So here's Obama on a podcast 6, 7, 8 days ago. Here's Trump responding to it a few days ago. And then a day later responding with, I'm going to declassify whatever I've got. What does Daniel List, our journalist, make of this? Here it is.
A couple questions here. Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the President of the United States.
What was the first question you wanted answered when you became president?
Where are the aliens?
Where are the aliens?
You need both. You need all persuasions. No discrimination.
Something that got a lot of attention this week. Barack Obama said that aliens are real. Have you seen any evidence of non-human visitors to Earth?
Well, he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
You know, so aliens are real?
Well, I don't know if they're real or not. I can tell you he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
He made a
big mistake. He took it out of classified information. No, I don't have an opinion on it. I never talk about it. A lot of people do. A lot of people believe it. Do you believe it, Peter?
If the president can declassify anything that he wants to,
well,
so
maybe
if you want to make an announcement.
Trouble. I may get him out of trouble by declassifying.
We know illegal aliens are real.
Yeah, illegal. Only illegals.
By the way, Trump just said at the end of the press conference he may hit Iran just to make the negotiation table. Keep that clip ready. We pause the live feed. That's coming up, how that can be used as a distraction. But that last clip, Daniel, we should probably play it three times and go over slowly here. Trump doesn't say it's not true. He says, I never talk about it. I'm not going to. He can get in a lot of trouble. And then he says, but I may get him out of trouble by declassifying it before him. What a statement. I mean, Daniel List, wow. What a moment here for somebody like you who spent decades, Wall Street Journal, you name it, with credible, real stuff you report, not made up stuff. This is, I can feel history. We're on the edge of something big here.
Oh, this is huge. Yeah, this is an incredible moment, and it's going to set off a number of processes, and there's a gigantic tug of war happening there in the background, and that's why you saw Obama going first, as it were. Obama didn't have to say any of that stuff. He didn't have to say aliens were real at all. But what they did, I think very effectively, was they were neutralizing Trump. And Trump was going to come out apparently in July. Now, his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, even mentioned this twice before all this happened. He was going to come out in July and give a speech. A filmmaker in England also started to dime this around to all the various media outlets. So we were hearing this, that he was going to give it on the anniversary of Roswell, saying he was declassifying a number of records. Now, what we have to understand about the UFO file, it doesn't operate the way that it's portrayed in the media at all. It's not like, oh, hey, we can get some records and everything will be great. There's a whole system of control that goes back to the middle of the Eisenhower era. This is what Trump is up against. It's what other presidents have been up against at different times.
This is the heart of the shadow government.
It is, because in the words of Robert Saarbarker, who's our top physicist at the time, in the 50s and 60s, he said the UFO file is higher than the nuclear secrecy. Well, if we think about that, we can imagine the kind of secrecy rules that are in place to neutralize when the real facts come out. And also,
and everyone involved in a total surveillance.
Yes. It is. Surveillance is an excellent point here, because the satellite control and the idea of the Golden Dome introduces, you know, Palantir is involved in that, of course, others as well. Palantir is just one company in that group. But there's a series of groups set up around the Golden Dome, and they have a kind of a two-way purpose here. Well, actually, three-way purpose. One of those purposes stated is to take out the hypersonic missiles if they were to come at us. That's one. But the UFO defense grid was the original purpose behind SDI back in 1983, and they built this out now over 40 years. Even Trump himself said this is another version of Star Wars.
And the third purpose is surveilling the public and everybody else.
Exactly. And that is the tremendous surveillance is that everyone is walking around as a walking cell tower. And this is what we have to get through our heads, that when this technology goes into play along with the AI, you know, the very people who invented AI, like the scientist Hinton, they're warning about AI going off on its own and doing these things. Now, I can tell you very clearly that Trump's statement is a game changer on so many levels because what they were trying to do.
Yeah, by the way, I can't believe historically, like I've been on there 32 years. I can't overstate how huge this is. And Obama trying to head him off in the past, and then this. I mean, this is, from what you know, then we'll explain it. But what do you think he'll bring out? Because he said, oh, I may head him off in the past about space aliens. I'm like, wow.
Well, you and I have been talking about what Trump would do because Trump has the background. And this is also a key factor here. I like to point out the fact often that the MIT physicist, Dr. John Trump, is his uncle. And often, even if you go back to articles in the 1980s, he's going off about his close relationship to John and that John shared all these secrets with him. Now, he in particular brings it up at certain points during the 2024 campaign, which I found very, very interesting. And part of that that got to me was that he was signaling there, remember, I'm on the same page with you. I'm on the same level with you. And this is what the deep state, you know, there have been a lot of presidents, Nixon, Bush, Carter, whatever it has been over the years, that people have liked or not liked. But the media and the reaction to Trump when he got in was, you know, you had to peel them off the ceiling. It was an absurd overreaction by anybody's. It was like, get him out by any means necessary, Russian collusion, whatever it happened to be. But Trump, in that first term, what he tried to do was pull the UFO file back under executive control. And the way that he would do that was adopting the Space Force. They could not get around him on that. Now, one of the weird things that happened with Space Force was that Chance Saltzman is the general they got to lead it. And if you look at his background, he was there at Malmstrom Air Force Base for over a decade. And Malmstrom was the site of a massive UFO flyover of a nuclear base, which shut down our nuclear missiles in Montana. So there's always that link and the chain and the footprints back to the UFO file.
Sure, you're reading all the factoids, but bottom line, you don't like to put God on the fence here or on a limb, but what do you think is about to happen? Why is this moving so fast?
This is the opening up of this process, but it's one group is going to get the initiative on it or the other group. Remember back in 2016.
We have X-Protect and then we have Explain.
Yes, exactly. X-Protect now, X-Protect is the group that has protected the secrecy over this whole period of time. And their rules are no chief executive can get their hands on it. That is since the middle of the Eisenhower era. And they got rid of some presidents.
And Eisenhower warned of the military industrial complex run by technocrats, a technological elite taking control of the government. Was he warning of X-Protect or was he with X-Protect?
Which one?
Was when Eisenhower warned of technocrats controlling the government secretly, was he warning of X-Protect or was he with them?
No, there's no question that he was more on the X-Share side, and he was disturbed because he had been through World War II, and he had led the Allies to victory, and he had also assumed the presidency and realized—
He wasn't just a great soldier. He was an excellent bureaucrat, and he saw what they were doing.
Yes, there's no question about it. He also shared with Kennedy that the UFO file was where the CIA was pulling away. Matter of fact, there's a famous incident in Eisenhower's presidency where they stopped giving him briefings on Area 51 back then. And Eisenhower says straight up, well, you know what? If you don't do it, at a certain point, I'm going to send the Eighth Army in there. So you decide how you want this to go. And this is very interesting because he started getting briefings right away. What happened, though, is he had a heart attack in the middle of his administration and Nixon took over for a short period of time. That is when the UFO file got moved out into this whole different specter, which is now right in the middle between that corporate influence and that intelligence aerospace influence. And what's overlooked often whenever we are hearing things about the deep state or whenever we get into these different kind of geopolitical messes is the aerospace side is always missing, but they're huge. They have the control because you can control things on the ground from above. That's the dream of the ultimate control from space. That goes all the way back.
Yeah, AI-controlled space, drone-controlled ground. So again, quantify that. I'm going to give you the floor. You had a big exhibition, Dennis. What is this moment in history? Why is it happening now?
It's huge. Look, every president has looked, stared at the abyss of UFO disclosure and denied it because they realized the stakes were too high. The X-Protect group has been in charge, as I said, since the middle of the 1950s on that. There was a battle there very early on about what was going to come out. Forrestal and people like that were included. The dynasty of that is the JFK era because he saw how they unceremoniously dumped his friend, his best friend, Forrestal out of a window, and he was the Secretary of Defense at the time. And famously, during one of his last speeches, he went to the actual gravesite of Forrestal and made sure to take pictures there. So Kennedy understood what he was up against. It's quite interesting. There's a character out there running these think tanks who was part of these think tanks at a certain point. Now she's giving commentary. Her name is Pippa Malmgren. Her dad was someone who was a staffer, a national security staffer in the Kennedy administration. Before he died, and I was communicating with him on X, he said clearly that he thought that the main reason that Kennedy was assassinated was over the UFO file and his willingness to share it with the Russians. Now, this is an old piece because remember, whenever these presidents get together with their counterparts in Russia, they try to keep them apart. And Trump asked, I don't want any State Department people. I don't want any CIA people in there when I'm negotiating over the UFO file. This is what makes them, hit the roof and say, oh, he was a traitor with Putin and all the rest of it. It's to keep those two forces together because the UFO file belongs under the executive branch. Right now, it's in the hands of the X-Protect group, which is intelligence, CIA, NGA, NRO. They control it. They're the ones who have it. And they certainly don't want to give it up for some Trump initiative. And so the idea was the Democrats were trying to make a deal with them, the Republicans through Trump. His side was trying to make a deal with them. And so Trump has the ability to go around them by doing his own announcement. That's the crucial step that he's taking. And it's historic because even his enemies will have to realize the potency of that kind of a move. And frankly, it represents a kind of maximum peril. I'll be honest with you about that. Clearly, there was a scientist who was assassinated just this morning.
Well, let me start over. Let's do a little, exactly, that was involved in all this and studying foreign asteroids and things that are dangerous to Earth. Explain to people, you're saying maximum danger for Trump right now. He's going at the heart of the deep state. Say it in your own words.
There's no question about it. This is because when you go at that particular secret, the X-Protect group is, they're lethal and they work directly with the Central Intelligence Agency, the highest now assassination group in the world. Very often we'll hear about, some state actor came over here and assassinated this main figure. You can't do anything in terms of assassination in the United States without the Central Intelligence Agency. There's no way. And the CIA, our masters at it, a lot of people have tried to say, the CIA is reformed. And, they've given up this whole practice since that era. Not at all. They've never been truly sanctioned in any way. We recently have the records come out that they were trying to assassinate.
So in your own words, I'm going to put clips out of this. You're saying this is Trump's most dangerous move is right now. You're saying the UFO file is the most dangerous thing.
UFO file represents the maximum peril when it comes to President Trump and his initiative around releasing the files. It's not, Hegseth was putting a little gray alien head in his Twitter feed. Look, I don't know if that guy has a clue or not, but this is a very serious, major issue, and he must know it on some level that that whole system, and if they try to negotiate with the system and say, well, we want to let a certain amount of this out, that system is sitting there in the background, and they have developed now for 8 decades an entirely different setup of breakaway technology. Now, how do you come back to the public and say, well, we were doing this in the background, we did it with your money, and we have the infrastructure, we have the power now, but don't worry about it because we were protecting you from...
somebody quantify that. He's not in full control of the UFO file. He's trying to, but by doing this, he puts himself politically in front, give him the capital to go in and get it. You could see in that footage, I watched that footage of Obama probably 30 times. He is upset. He doesn't like what he's having to say. He tries to make it like a joke, but you can see that they're really panicked across the board about this.
Well, Obama is known for being very cool and collected, and he's very smart, and he's also got a very canny sense in the media about what not to say. For 8 years during his administration, he said zero about the UFO file. Afterwards, he said little light statements when the original 2018-2017 releases came out during the Trump administration. They were doing the tic-tac and all this government piece. But Obama, in that clip, saying aliens are real is also historic. So Trump realized, oh, they're trying to grab the rug out from under me before I give the July speech.
And I noticed, and I saw you on X a day before Trump responded. You said they're trying to get ahead of Trump. Trump then says a day later, I'm going to get ahead of you. So it's not a debate that they're in a race now.
There's no question about it. And the idea is both sides.
So there's
sides
now a race for eight. So does Trump give us alien disclosure, or is it going to be limited from what he was given by the Pentagon? So there's a race for alien disclosure right now.
Yeah, I would say they shoved him out of his original timeline, which was in July. He was going to move forward this process, and he was going to combine it with the Golden Dome. Now, in the background, the intel forces are saying, look, you know, we want the UFO threat. That's a national emergency that gives us emergency powers. This is an old, old plan for emergency powers. The less they have the ability to govern, the more they're going to go into this emergency power situation. So what we're looking at is the UFO threat piece was launched out there. That's what went through Congress, not the science part. They didn't even have good scientists up there. They had whistleblowers who were like, oh, I'm afraid, and we have a whole plan to take them down. We're going to shoot them down. They're going to outrun
us. Yeah, so instead of disclosing, they immediately go, we're not going to disclose. We got to get ready for war.
Exactly. That's why you had Elizondo and all these war type figures out there.
And clear disinformation operatives everywhere.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, these are trained counterintelligence people. And I don't know why in that whole loop on the UFO side, you know, the deep state researchers are much more effective at this. If they would adopt and get into the UFO file, they could explode the whole thing. The UFO researchers are not very deep. It's more of a pop click environment. That's just the nature of the thing. Too many years.
Yeah, I was on Joe Rogan. And I see, you know, I was on a telephone call with lizards. So what is your advice where you had all this other news and decide the real intel's coming up? What is your advice, President Trump? Because the White House listens. What is your advice? Because you were saying months ago, I wish we had a bigger crew. They're great to find your predictions all coming true. You said you got to get out ahead. You got to do it now. You got to disclose now. Trump can't wait till July. You remember saying that?
Yes, yes. And this is the key thing, that Trump needs to keep the initiative without losing his head over the fact that historically Obama or somebody else may score those points. Remember, Chuck Schumer was feeding Obama talking points about UFOs last year when they were trying to get legislation out there, and then they were going to have Obama grandstanding about it originally. In 2016, they were going to have Hillary Clinton do the whole UAP disclosure. That's where you got TTSA and Elizondo and all those people. That's the counterintelligence route. It's thin. It's actually very thin, but it's supported by that Central Intelligence Agency piece. They have the actual secret technology deep, deep in the halls of government. And I'll tell you, it's not the kind of thing, you know, once in a while you hear, hey, we found the location of this large UFO, you know, they put it in some building here or there. You're never going to hear about where these things are located. It is the top national security secret in the United States. And when you look at President Trump, he's someone who knows. And who does he know through? He knows through his relationship with President Nixon, which he had a very close relationship with him, which we revealed very much on our show. He knows through his close relationship with John Trump, and he knows through Roy Cohn. You know, you put those three together, and you have a lot of where the deep state buried the bones. And this is, in my opinion, there's no question. This is why the incredible opposition on the national security state side to President Trump and his initiatives, which are leading towards a real, actual disclosure. The thing is, Trump likes to hold those cards very closely, and he does not have possession of the UFO file. This is the nature of the problem. That's why the Space Force happened.
And notice he said, you shouldn't have done it, but maybe I'll skip ahead. So let me ask before we get a break, a bigger question, just in general. They're trying to crash the economy. They're trying to take tariffs away from him. They're trying to connect him to Epstein. I've never seen any real evidence, but they've been tacitly involved. This stuff's coming out regardless. What do you make of just the overall admission at the Munich conference that the New World Order is dead, which I said years ago? I mean, I don't just agree with them. I mean, everybody hates them. Bill Gates has like a 99% hatred level. He just canceled all his events. You have the King of England's brother arrested for espionage. What's happening right now? This big picture, not just with UFOs, but the power structure.
It is. It's switching so much in the background. The other thing is that Vance used the term New World Order, just as they were saying on the other side, hey, New World Order is collapsing. So there's something strange going on in terms of influence and who's going to place who in what position. No, the Rubio group is much more neocon-oriented than the Vance group. You notice that split.
No, I mean, I favor the Vance group.
Yes.
But I think the Rubio group is probably in the pole position.
Yes, no question about it. Rubio Group has an incredible power hold on the government right now, I would say. That's why you're seeing all this activity around consolidation and the Iran situation as well.
Venezuela.
Yes. The Venezuela thing and the use of weapons that we have not seen used on the battlefield.
And that was my next question, important. The discombobulation weapon. What is that?
This is incredible because when we look at this, what we're seeing is the remnants and the echo of the Havana Syndrome cases. That is the type of technology that was used. They weren't prepared to reveal it. The problem is on the world stage, there's some other actor, and this is not an actor that we're accustomed to seeing or talking about openly. It's not Russia, it's not China, and it's not the United States. So who is it? There's some other actor.
Well, it's like Epstein.
There.
It's his own corporate deal. We know, like Spectre and James Bond, you have corporations have their own armies.
Yes, exactly. We're going to get closer and closer to this. Remember, one of my favorite examples in history is the NRO. The NRO existed for 30 years controlling the skies without regular citizens knowing anything about it. And I mean, nothing. And then suddenly it comes out in 1994. So right now, what's the group handling the UFO file that's an actual government administrative office? Where is it? It's already there. It's just that it's not officially disclosed. So part of what Trump is doing, and part of the pressure, and this also was when he was trying to place Lockheed Martin under the executive branch by saying, hey, we're going to take the most stock in it. He realizes that these various groups, Lockheed, Boeing, and others, have consolidated. Northrop Grumman, they've been working on the UFO file. How do you get it back if it was released from executive control as long as 70 years ago? And this has been the quest in the heart of it, because if you can move that back under executive control.
Well, it goes back to Eisenhower. He said, I'll raid you with the army.
Yes, exactly. And what's amazing to me is that the President Kennedy aspect, if you go back there, the clash is so open with that national security state and with the CIA side. But if you go into it now and clear the cobwebs of some 60 years, you'll find people in the background saying Kennedy's assassinated over the UFO file who were in the government. Now, where does that come from? Now, that doesn't come just from research. That's people saying it on the inside. So why were they hearing about it back then? No, this is the issue, and it's the top issue in the national security state.
Well, it is, but look at Doge sent out an email to all these federal employees. 53% didn't respond back. That same thing Eisenhower can. They're like, give me answers. No.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So you're just, outside of the reach of actual presidential control. Amazing.
Yeah. People need to understand Trump is not in complete control, folks. We'll be right back with Daniel List, our journalist. Huge news straight ahead. Stay with us. Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle. You get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, the story, hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, it's a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach new people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guests straight ahead.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.